We're going to read God's Word now. We're continuing our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. Today the focus is goodness. And we've got one reading from the Old Testament, one reading from the New Testament. And as we read these passages, I want you to pay particular attention to what it says about good and goodness. So the first reading is from Psalm 16. We're going to read the whole psalm. So Psalm 16 is found on page 778, and it's also up on the screen. And we're going to read this psalm responsively. So that means I'll read the odd-numbered verses and you read the even-numbered verses. So Psalm 16, page 778, and I'll start reading from verse 1 and then you respond. Verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.
I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who run after other gods will suffer more than them. I will not pour out oil on
Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have delight in the law of your inheritance.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure.
Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay.
You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 5. So this is page 1162. And so we're going to read the passage which should be familiar to us now. It's the passage about the fruit of the Spirit, but then we're going to read on a little bit further and see how the letter continues after the fruit of the Spirit have been introduced. So we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your spirit. We thank you that in your word you reveal yourself to us, and that your spirit brings your word into our hearts and transforms us and energizes us to respond to your word. Please now enable us to understand your goodness, to embrace your goodness, to respond to your goodness in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 2016, a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health wrote an article, and the title of the article was, "Religion May Be a Miracle Drug." I want to read you the first couple of paragraphs of his article. He says, "If one could conceive of a single medicine to improve the physical and mental health of millions of Americans at no personal cost, what value would our society place on it? Going a step further, if research quite conclusively showed that when consumed just once a week, this concoction would reduce mortality by 20 to 30% over a 15-year period, how urgently would we want to make it publicly available? The good news is that this miracle drug, religion and more specifically regular church attendance, is already in reach." So the article goes on to describe the professor's research, where he's gathered together the results of a whole lot of scientific studies, which has found that people who regularly attend church services are overall more optimistic and have lower rates of depression and are less likely to commit suicide and have a greater sense of purpose in life and are less likely to get a divorce and are more self-controlled. Now, we realise this is like statistics. This is the overall picture. Of course, Christians can go through all sorts of difficulties in life. Of course, Christians can suffer depression just like everyone else. And, okay, yes, we recognise that there are toxic forms of religion. I've met plenty of people who'll say, I've been hurt by the church. But still, the research shows that overall, church is actually good for you. And I think this is because in Christian worship and Christian community, we come into contact with the goodness of God. Today we're thinking about how the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. But what exactly does that word mean? What is goodness? Well, this past week, I've spent time looking through all the Bible verses that include either the word good or the word goodness. And I've read what a few other people say, and here's my attempt to give a definition of goodness, at least goodness as it comes up as a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is a consistent quality of character which flows out in blessing to others. So I'll say that again. Goodness is a consistent quality of character which flows out in blessing to others. Maybe another way to keep on trying to understand goodness and good is to see what the opposite of goodness is. I mean, Jesus once said, "God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good." And so good is the opposite of evil. A good is also the opposite of bad. Jesus said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." And so the idea is, what is morally good, what is the opposite of evil, is also ultimately the same as what is good for us. Jesus is a good teacher because, okay, it's hard to find like a simpler word to describe good, because good is pretty much the simplest word there is. But Jesus helps us understand by giving us an illustration. Do you see the illustration here? He says, imagine you've got a tree with good fruit and a tree with bad fruit. The bad fruit, what does that do? It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Maybe it gives you a stomach ache. Whereas the good fruit, it's enjoyable and it'll make you healthy. The goodness is a quality of the tree itself. Goodness produces good fruit as a blessing to those who eat it. One more thing that, well, at least I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking, what's the difference between goodness that we're talking about today and kindness that we spoke about last week? Because they're pretty similar. In fact, their meanings do overlap a bit. But as I've looked through all the verses where the Bible uses the word kindness and the Bible uses the word goodness, it seems that kindness is especially looking at someone in need, looking at someone who's suffering and doing something about that need. Whereas goodness continues on from that. Goodness flows out in actions which move people ahead and sees their situation improve. So you remember last week, John told us about God's people expressing kindness when they sent the maize for the famine in Malawi. Remember the picture of the truck? So that's kindness. There's a desperate need, and God's people met that need. And goodness is like that. But maybe if we're trying to find an example of goodness, maybe it's more in building schools and supplying teachers and helping the country to not only eat today, but also to develop for tomorrow. So that's a long introduction to what goodness is. But what I want you to see from the scriptures this morning is four things. First of all, that God is good. Secondly, that Christ came doing good. Thirdly, that our sinful nature is not a source of goodness. And then finally, I want to encourage you to press on in doing good. So the pattern is God, Christ, the flesh, the Spirit. They tell me that there's a saying amongst the Christians in Malawi. Maybe some of you can finish this sentence. I'm told that in Malawi, people will often say, God is good all the time. And that is his nature. Oh, I'd forgotten that last bit. That's even better. It's so important for our lives that we believe that the God who is in control of our lives is good. That's his nature. Because, like, if you don't have a good God ruling over the world, what comfort can you possibly have in your times of trouble? I mean, the psalm that we read before, Psalm 16, it spoke about the goodness of God. So Psalm 16, verse 2, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." The idea here is that everything we have that's good, well, where did it come from? It has as its source our God, because God is good. If goodness is, what did I say? If goodness is a consistent quality of character which flows out in blessing to others, well, let's think about God's goodness and the fruit of the Spirit. There is... In our verse, our memory verse, the fruit of the Spirit, there is a logical order to the list. The first three, do you remember the first three? Love, joy, peace. Remember how each of them describe who God is in himself as a Trinity existing for all eternity in love, joy, and peace. And then the rest of the things in the list describe how God acts towards us who he has created. So you remember we did patience. God is long-tempered. He doesn't rush to give us the punishment that we deserve. No, what does he do? He acts in kindness. He looks on us in our need and does something about it. And then not only that, not only does he move us out of this place of judgment and need, but he moves us into a place of blessing. That's where we get to goodness. The nature of goodness is that it overflows to others. And so God's goodness is the way that his love and joy and peace flow out to us. I mean, just think, Tom mentioned at the start of the service, when God created the world, he looked at it all, and what did he say? It was good. He put humanity on this earth in a world full of blessing, full of the expressions of his goodness. And so what happened when humans sinned? It's that they decided, God's goodness isn't enough. I need to find another goodness. But they reached out and tried to find good apart from him. In this sense, sin is when we fail to believe that God is the ultimate good. But of course, the consequences of humanity cutting ourselves off from the source of all good, well, we see those consequences all around us in the world today. We see humanity grabbing for the things of this world in the hope that we will find good. But the good that we desire actually isn't in this world, because the ultimate source of good is beyond this world. The news that is precious to us is that God, who is beyond this world, sent his Son into the world to restore this world with his goodness. You know, when Jesus walked around on this earth, the thing that grabbed people's attention was the fact that he did good. Do you remember that time? It's Mark chapter 3. And do you remember Jesus was in the synagogue, kind of like the church of that time. And there was a man there with a shriveled hand. He had a disability. And everybody knew what Jesus did in those kinds of situations. They were watching to see, is Jesus going to do it again? And look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? Let's just leave aside the Sabbath question for today. What I'm wanting to point out is that when Jesus describes his own ministry, when Jesus describes his healings that he was doing, he describes them as doing good. So you've got goodness is the quality of character. Doing good is the expression of that goodness, and Jesus is expressing God's goodness. I mean, Jesus' miracles back then, that they weren't the final solution to human suffering. And instead, Jesus' miracles, remember, they're kind of like a signpost, a preview which shows us what it's going to look like when God's kingdom takes a hold of this world. Jesus' miracles are a preview of the goodness of the kingdom to come. A preview of what will happen on that day when the goodness of God reshapes all of creation. But of course, that day hasn't come yet. And so, how do we experience God's goodness today? How can we practice God's goodness? Be agents of his goodness? Well, to answer the practical question, we need to recognize where goodness comes from and where it doesn't come from. Because there's two very different ways that people today approach the question of how can I live as a good person? There's on one hand, there's a strong current of thought in our culture which teaches us to think of ourselves as fundamentally good. So, for example, you've got the French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He said, humans are born good, it's just that society messes them up after that. And so, from his point of view, if we want to recover goodness, where do we turn? Well, he said, what we need to do is look inside ourselves. He's like, the mess is out there, but the goodness is in here, so we just got to look inside, and then whatever we find, express that. Now, I know most people don't go around reading Jean-Jacques Rousseau, but this is an idea that should, like, that is familiar to us. This is an idea that is expressed to us through pop culture. So, like, take Lady Gaga, 2011. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't hide yourself in regret. Just love yourself and you're set. She's kind of putting Jean-Jacques Rousseau to a techno beat. But this is very different to how the Apostle Paul thought about himself. The Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7. Look what he says. He says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. So he's picking up that our sinful nature, that's that the word, the flesh, born apart from God, separated from his goodness. It's saying who we are without Christ, this is who we are. Now that might, you might hear that and go, oh, that's a pretty negative view of human nature. But I think more and more people recognize that it's a realistic view of human nature. This is how human nature actually works. All the mess of human society is an expression of the mess of our sinful nature within us. So maybe Taylor Swift captured some of Paul's idea in 2022 when she sang, "It's me, hi, I'm the problem." Remember our reading from Galatians started with the list of the acts of the flesh. And one of the acts of the flesh is envy. I mean, envy gets repeated again at the end of Galatians chapter 5. Envy, what's envy? Envy is the tendency to see other people as a threat. To look at other people and to want to live in constant competition. Envy looks at others and doesn't want to see them get ahead, doesn't want to see others improve, doesn't want to see others do well. So think about it. If goodness is all about seeing blessings flow to others, then envy is the opposite of goodness. And yet, don't we all know what it is to envy? Don't we know from our personal experience? I mean, even if we can dress it up with smiles and niceness on the outside, we all know what envy is. We've been there. And so if we're trying to figure out how do I get goodness, it's not going to be by looking inside and just drawing on our own resources. What we need is a goodness that comes from outside ourselves. What we need is God's goodness to be in our hearts. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. See, when we admit our sinful nature and we embrace Jesus as Lord and we cry out to him and say, save us through what you did on the cross, then God pours out his goodness on us. He gives us a hope of a better future. He gives us a freedom from guilt. He gives us a reason for joy and for thankfulness. And so through Jesus, we can go ahead in life with the assurance that the good God is with us and that he's going to bring us safely to our eternal destination. Having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us means that we have a goodness that's not from ourselves. A goodness from God which is implanted deep within us. And the amazing thing is that as we continue to walk with Jesus, then that goodness actually changes us and more becomes a part of who we are. So I wonder if you noticed in our reading from Galatians, you can turn there if you're not there already, there's this idea that goodness in our hearts will lead us to doing good. So this is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Verse 10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Maybe you could think of it like this. God's goodness has overflowed to us through his Son and in his Holy Spirit. And so imagine God at the top of this fountain. But then we're there on the next level, and the idea is that as his goodness flows to us and fills us, then we express that goodness in good works which flow out to others. That flow on of goodness is us keeping in step with the Spirit. Remember, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Good works to one another, especially to one another, as we help one another move ahead spiritually, move ahead in all areas of our lives. The Christian community is supposed to be a place where God's goodness overflows between us. But notice in that verse, the good works are not limited to the Christian community. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? This is Galatians 6 verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Because the nature of goodness is that it overflows. And you know, over the years, God's goodness has overflowed. So many of the good things that exist in the world today, things that benefit all sorts of people, so many of those things were actually introduced by Christians. So like the whole idea of human rights, the first person to use that word human rights was a Christian theologian from Africa named Tertullian. The birth of the hospital as we know it goes back to a Christian bishop named Basil of Caesarea. You can trace the modern scientific method and all the advances and good things that's brought to the world. You can trace that back to the medieval schoolmen. You can trace back so much of modern parliamentary democracy to Christian leaders like Henry II. You can trace the growth of universities and so much of our education system. So, I mean, those first European universities were set up so that people could study the Bible. The abolition of slavery. You can go back and you see that it was Christians, people who believed in a good God, people who received his goodness were the ones who were campaigning to end slavery. I mean, we've got to admit there's bad stuff that's come from the church over the years too. There's been plenty of acts of the flesh done in the name of Christianity. But I'm just trying to point out, when we walk by the Spirit, it's good for one another and it's good for our world. And yet the reality is that there will be times when you are doing good and you feel weary. And so the encouragement here is don't give up. When you're weary, remember that okay, whatever goodness has been at work in you so far, where's that come from? It's not from your flesh. It's not from your own strength. It's been God's Spirit at work in you. And so when you are weary, seek to be refilled by God's Spirit. Seek His Spirit in all the normal means that God's provided for you, hearing His Word and calling out in prayer and gathering to worship with His people. Seek Him. Remember His goodness to you. Ask for His strength. And the fruit will be goodness and a refreshed and renewed desire to do good. Friends, God is good all the time. This is His nature. He works all things for the good of those who love Him. Do you believe in the goodness of our God? Do you believe that through Christ He's bringing you into a deeper and fuller experience of His goodness? If you belong to Jesus, His Spirit is with you. His Spirit is growing His goodness in you, so that through you, some of His goodness may overflow to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You as a God who is good, and a God who has expressed Your goodness in doing good for us. We thank You that You are at work in our lives by Your Holy Spirit. Please fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Enable us to remember Your goodness to us. And please enable goodness to overflow in blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.